Blog Talk Radio.
Drunkcast Radio, or the Drunkcast Top Radio, or I don't know what the fuck to call this show. Anyway, welcome tonight. We are joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations. How are you, Edward?
I'm doing fine, and unfortunately, our resident Hillbilly Hick is sick and not on the show, so we have invited the former co-host of the show, that freaking jackass, the Peach Machine, on the show. How you doing, jackass?
Hey, fat ass. What's up, my man? Hey, Craig. What's up, brother?
So, man, how are you doing?
Doing great. Having a great time. Gonna be fun.
Yeah, I'm sure Craig is just waiting to hang up when he gets a little too offended. But before we get to the offensiveness of the show, we were doing talking about Star Wars for a couple weeks, and unfortunately, Craig was unable to do our review show, so going to give Craig the opportunity to give his review. And I know Peach has seen the show, so I guess we'll get a review from him too. But Craig, your thoughts on Star Wars? Was it worth the wait?
Well, first off, am I allowed to spoil yet? I mean, it's been like 3-4 weeks, right?
Oh, you can say whatever you want, man. If they ain't seen the show, the movie by now, that's their own goddamn problem.
Yeah, I was kind of leaning that way. You know, if you ain't seen it by now, then you're just not a fan. Let's be honest.
And let's be honest, no one's listening to this show, so who gives a fuck?
Well, there's that as well, but hey.
Matt Clary is listening live right now.
I'm sure he's seen Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. So I went down the day after it came out, went out on Saturday morning, 9 o'clock showing, 9 a.m. I figure I'm going to be up anyway. Let's go watch a movie. So new theater down in my area, down on the waterfront in Tacoma. And, dude, they've got leather recliner seats. It was dope.
Are they the ones that shake?
No. These are just straight up big overstuffed leather recliners with a button on the side where you can raise your feet, you know, electrically. You don't even have to, you know, push back. So, A-plus on the new theater. So anyway, the opening credits start rolling, and that scroll that comes from the bottom of the screen up, I don't know why, but this 43-year-old man in this theater, this man being me, I started to get choked up. I ain't gonna lie. My tear ducts started to swell, and it brought me right back to being, you know, 6 years old, sitting in the Volare station wagon at the local drive-in. You know what I mean? Just right back to childhood.
Volare station wagon. Oh, yeah, I remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So I honestly got a little choked up because, oh, my gosh, this is me as a little kid. in a theater, about to see the greatest movie I've ever seen. And anyway, the movie was shot in such a way that it reminded me of the 1970s, the way they shot the film. They didn't go over the top with the crazy CGI like Lucas did in the first three movies, you know, 1, 2, and 3. It went back to this old school style of movie shooting where everything was live. There was some CGI, but it wasn't over the top like, you know, Anakin and the rest of the silliness where everything was shot on a green screen. The story, of course, is exactly the same story as number 4, which is completely fine because that's almost a perfect story. You know, it starts off, there's a good guy, he's in trouble. He loads some information into a droid. They send the droid away. The droid ends up in the hands of another good person, and a fight ensues to get the information out of the droid by the bad guys. And they run into an old sage, and the old sage ends up, you know, helping them fight the bad guys. Sounds familiar, right?
Kind of.
So, I mean, it was basically the same layout for Star Wars, you know, A New Hope. And I was absolutely fine with that because, number one, obviously you want to tell that story to new viewers. So this is a story you could watch this movie and you wouldn't even had to have been a fan of Star Wars beforehand. You knew it caught you up like that. And then, of course, the big spoiler. If you don't want this spoiled, stop listening now, but Han Solo ends up dying, just like Obi-Wan in the first movie. And they end up blowing
Darth
up the
Vader
big...
is Luke's father.
What? What?
I ruined it. I ruined it. I'm sorry.
You're destroying my world right now. One of my favorite episodes of The Simpsons is a flashback to The Simpsons coming out of the theater, and over the marquee it says The Empire Strikes Back, and Homer, as he's walking by the people in line, goes, I cannot believe Luke Skywalker, his dad was Darth Vader, and the people are killing him. So anyway, the movie was tremendous. I just absolutely loved it. I've already seen it 3 times because, yes, I'm that big of a dork. So I want to actually go again. So it's
correct.
The perfect movie.
I got to tell you, I totally agree with every sentiment that you have. And it was one of your tweets after you've seen it, and you said like it was the perfect movie or whatever you said. And I was like, I know Craig's taste is the same as mine. We're about the same age, and I think even Ed might even be a little too old, but he's like,
whatever.
But you know what I mean? Because I watched it with my wife, and she comes out and like starts to try to tell me plot points and stuff, and I'm like, whoa,
stop!
Do not act like you have any clue what this movie means to me. Like I exactly what he felt like. I was a 6-year-old sitting in there going, "This is." I almost cried when I saw Luke. Swear.
Yeah.
I almost cried.
Yeah, I hear you.
So there you go.
There was, even when I knew it was coming because, you know, I knew somebody was going to die, and when Kylo Ren puts the saber through Han, I knew it was coming, and I, you know, it heard rumbling, but I was really sad. I was really sad.
Yeah.
It broke my heart. Even though I knew it was coming and I knew that the story's going to continue, I was sad.
Because there's never been a cooler character in all of cinematography than Han Solo. There's never been a cooler guy.
Even 6-year-old Han Solo is still the coolest fucking movie hero in the world.
Well, that's debatable, but yes. But the Han Solo character died, and it was gut-wrenching for all of us who grew up idolizing him. saying things like, "Hey, it's me." You know, that was one of my great third grade lines. Was, "Hey, it's me," because Han said that.
When you guys mentioned that it's the same, like it's basically the same storyline. It's the same storyline, but there's a lot of like opposites in the movie. Like in the first, for episodes 4 through 6, basically you have Luke who's struggling with the dark side. And on this movie, you have Kylo Ren who's struggling with the light. And there's so many like just little differences that it's the same movie, but in another way, it's a totally different movie. And that's what I liked about it. And I also like
that. I will agree with you as well. And I will say, but what Craig was saying, starting to say at the beginning, at the start of the movie, it felt very, very familiar, almost to the point where I thought, like, oh, this is the same movie. This might suck.
Mm-hmm.
But then it didn't. But then it took off. It was right when they revealed the Millennium Falcon. And they did that in such a clever way. Well, you know, that hunk of junk, and you weren't even thinking about it, and then, bam, there's that disc, you know.
There it is.
Well, what's funny is they show you the Falcon for like a half second while they're running.
Yeah.
So you have to, like,
you're not
be looking
for
it. Yeah, you're not looking for it. And then when they do show it, it's like, you know, it's like, uh-oh, damn. And how they still use the same laser tracking cannon thing in the Falcon, that old school, like, just above Pong level with the triangle, and they're shooting at the triangle.
Yeah.
And the squares.
And I'm sure everyone in your theater, when she said, "Oh, yeah, it made the Kessel Run in 14 parsecs," everyone in the theater went, 12 parsecs.
12
parsecs.
Right.
I also liked the fact that Kylo Ren was like this punk kid who was struggling with this thing. He was struggling with his parents, you know what I mean? He was like this punk kid who picked up where grandpa left off, even though he was, you know, raised by quote unquote good people, and so he was rebelling and he's not quite there yet. And in fact they say that, you know, in the end, you know, oh, he needs more training. Bring him back and let's finish his training. And I just like that aspect where he's, you know, this punk, and he's not quite ready, and they're giving him this chance, you know, and it's very, very clever the way they did that.
Well, what I liked about it is when he first came out, basically Kylo Ren is Darth Vader. He's trying to be calm, cool, collected, cold. And then throughout the movie, you find out that this is not the case. This is a guy trying to be Darth Vader, but he is nowhere close, and he's an emotional wreck. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
I like
what were you
going to
say
with the Kylo Ren?
Oh, go ahead.
With the Kylo Ren storyline, how you're saying like he was like a sort of like an angst filled teenager, sort of rebelling. But I like that they showed the like raw emotion where he just slashed the you know, the console with his lightsaber and just unleashed. And you're like, oh, this guy's, you know, raw power there or whatever. You know, unchanneled.
Mm-hmm.
And the only critique I'd have of that character is I think he took his mask off way too early. We shouldn't have seen his face until Han saw it.
I think that as well, but then there's another part where you kind of got the, okay, he talks with, when he's got the hood on, he's got this thing on his voice that changes it to make it sound more electronic.
Right,
and you wouldn't have known that he's just a guy without taking the mask off. Because when he takes the mask off, there's no electric, there's nothing electronic about his voice. There's no Darth Vader type mechanics that make him talk that way. So you kind of had to get that point across that he was doing everything he could to be like his grandfather.
Okay. And he didn't even need to wear the mask. He was just doing it how badly he wanted to.
Right, because even the hood itself has got the shape of Darth Vader's hood. It's just smaller.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I also like how he doesn't even have a real lightsaber. He's got a piece of shit that's got a cracked crystal, and that's why it's popping out the sides. And you know what I mean?
Is that why?
He's still, he's, It also shows that he's not like full, like he's not a Jedi, he's not a Sith yet. He's just above what Luke was in, say, Empire Strikes Back, if you really think about it.
That's right. I think you're inferring quite a lot from that lightsaber. I don't know if that was a cracked crystal. How do you know that?
Because it's been in the storybooks. That's what it, they said it was.
Okay,
well,
we all know you can't read, so who read that to you?
Although, how about this action? Possibly, maybe, he found Darth Vader's old saber, and it was cracked when he got it.
But it's possible, but that's, I don't know, that, like, why couldn't it just be that's the way it was shaped? Count Dooku has a cock-shaped one.
You got me there.
Yeah.
Well, either way, but I wanted to ask one more question about Star Wars, actually probably a few here, but the one of the criticisms of people who didn't like the film, or people who liked the film but have to act like they didn't like the film.
Yeah.
And I never heard this term until this movie. And what do you guys think of the Mary Sue criticism?
What?
You lost me.
I had never heard of it either. I was thinking maybe you guys would have heard about it too. But anyway, a lot of people are criticizing that the movie and calling Rey a Mary Sue. And I guess a Mary Sue is just like, how did this, like a supposed perfect female hero that doing shit she shouldn't be doing, like how did she learn how to kick ass? How did she do this? How did she do that? It's just too simple.
Yeah.
She's a Mary Sue.
You're like, she's a cybernetics expert. Wow, the hot chick.
Yeah.
Okay, so the reason she knew how to do a lot of that stuff that she did on the planet is because she had spent so much time being a scavenger on the big ships that were on Jakku.
I got that. That's like how she knew how to go. Yeah.
Okay. And so what I'm thinking is we didn't see it in this film, but I've heard people say that she might be like the granddaughter of Obi-Wan.
Okay.
Well, I've heard that. I've heard Luke's daughter. I've heard the sister of Kylo Ren. I mean, there's a lot of ways they could go with it.
Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll find that out down the road.
I'm leaning towards Kylo's twin, right? It's got to be that.
Hmm.
Supposedly the books say that Kylo's 29 and Rey's 19, so my theory of them being twins is probably out, but I still think they're siblings or something. What I think, okay, when she has that flashback scene, and it's like she's not seeing Luke's flashback, she's seeing her flashback. She was there. She was one of those Jedis in training, and when Kylo Ren killed all the other kids or other students, he couldn't kill her, so he took her to Jakku and left her. And that's why he's like, was all, when he kept hearing about this girl, it was like more of a thing. And that's what I think it happened. And that's how I think she was able to fight, because she was trained with a lightsaber. She just either doesn't remember or they wiped her memory. But she knows how to fight. That's how she whipped those two dudes' asses, plus Finn's ass in the very beginning. And as far as using the Force, it's like, okay, she had no idea to use the Force. How did she turn it on Kylo? She's had training in the Force. She just doesn't remember it. So she kind of knew. So that's kind of one of the reasons she was able to use the Force.
Or it's just in her genes.
That too, you know.
No, she was able to use the Force because of all her midichlorians. That's how the Force...
We're getting real nerdy right here.
space amoebas in your blood.
Yeah.
Like I said, has the midichlorians because she's Kylo's sister.
No, I agree.
Or,
I think that's just as reasonable as anything else we said.
Sure. And we won't find out for another 2 years when part two comes out.
Yeah, I actually heard it hypothesized that Han's not even going to be dead. They're going to bring Han back. And I was like, that would be a very poor decision, in my opinion.
I think it would be poor, but if they do bring him back, I don't think they're bringing him back alive. They're just going to bring back his image like Obi-Wan or Yoda.
Oh, yeah.
Or when they turn the old man into Anakin and Jedi.
Hmm. So I heard that they had also shot all the live action parts for the next two movies already. Is that true?
I can't believe that because they're still casting people for the next movies.
So maybe they just meant with the three main stars.
Now I do know that if I have one criticism of the movie, it's that they left one scene out, and I know for a fact that this scene was filmed. So I guess we gotta wait to the DVD. No, not the gangbang scene. That's probably going to be on the special XXX edition. But no, Captain Plasma and the trash compactor happened. It was filmed. It just didn't make the movie. And I have to see this. I have to see Captain Plasma fighting the trash monster and the trash compactor.
No, it makes sense that they wouldn't air that because it was like this horrible. I know what they were going for. But it was just like, hey, do you want to cavalierly put this woman to death? Like, that's what Han said, basically. Hey,
no, she was
going to
get out just like
this prisoner?
She was going to survive. She was going to survive because she's going to be in the other movie, so.
So Han was saying, do you want to put her in this pit hoping that she escapes? No, he was saying, let's savagely execute this foe of ours. I mean, can you, being squeezed to death, is there a worse way? Amongst trash, nonetheless.
Yeah, okay.
It may have been filmed, but that's why it didn't air, because it was ridiculous.
Right.
Well, I still wanted to see Brianna a tarf whip some ass in the trash compactor and get out.
Yes, I can't wait to see more of Captain Phasma. I think... By the way, is it just me, or were they heavy on the women on this movie? There's a leader that's a woman on the bad guy side, and then there's the new Jedi who's also a woman.
Right. And the new Yoda is a woman.
Yes. Correct.
But the Brianna Tarkin, or you know, the Colossal or whatever the fuck her name was, that was the most unbelievable part about it. In my opinion, at all. Like, do you think a group of rich white guys who run the galaxy, they're going to let a woman that high up in their hierarchy of, you know, hate amongst, you know? Like, of course not.
Well, let me ask you a question. You're like a trained wrestler and a trained fighter. Would you fight Brianna a tarf? Fuck no.
Yeah, in anything, I would. I'd kick her ass. Yeah, because I have a penis. And that's all you need to sell in sports.
Cut it off.
Dude, I live in Knoxville, not Craig, and women's basketball here is really, really, really popular. And so, University of Tennessee. And so I have a joke in my act. I do stand-up comedy as well, and I say... You guys put the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame on Hall of Fame Drive. There's no famous women's basketball players. Always going to be boo.
And how ironic. And how ironic, because women can't drive. You can use that.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah, I've never been more offended in my life.
Just Mr. fucking taking photos up chicks' crotches on wrestling shows himself. Offended.
I couldn't help myself.
Offended Ed's delicate sensibilities.
Yeah, that's the first thing I think of when I think of Ed. He's like a flower. You got to be gentle with him.
Are we done? Are we done talking about Star Wars or what?
What do you think? What do you think is going to happen on the next one? Do you think it's going to be like if you look at episodes 4 through 6, they're like they're mapped out like a lucha libre match where the baby faces, the technos, run wild in the beginning, and then you have the second Sienda, and that's where the Rudos the Rudolph beatdown, and then you have the third Seattle, which is like the main event one where it's just back and forth. Do you see a Rudolph beatdown coming up and just major ass kicking by the villains, or do you think they go a different way?
I think it'd be too predictable if they did the same storyline, because in the first four, you had Shine by the Babyfaces, the Jedi, in the first movie. We had the Heat segment with Empire Strikes Back. And then get a couple of Hope spots in. More heat on the heel side. And then we go to Jedi. A lot of heat on the good guys. They're getting their tails kicked. Big comeback, Hope spot, big comeback, boom. 1, 2, 3, take it home.
You know, I got a different point of view. I feel like the Rebel Alliance, I think they're gonna go to Chewbacca's home planet and regroup, and then they'll take it from there. I think it's gonna be a heavy Chewbacca storyline for the next movie. That's my prediction.
Well, they wanted in Jedi, in the original script, they were going to go to a Wookiee planet. But
I don't want them to go to a Wookiee planet. Didn't you watch the holiday special? The Wookiee planet sucks.
Oh, the Wookiee planet is amazing. That's where dreams are made.
But then they showed the Wookiee planet. I think it was on Attack of the Clones.
It was
on
3, yeah.
Or was it? Okay, it was 3. And that Wookiee planet looked way cooler than the stupid holiday special.
It looked like Donkey Kong's jungle.
Yes, there you go.
Do you think Chewbacca Jr. now from the holiday special gets called up to the main roster?
Chewbunior?
Yes, he's going to be like Charlotte Flair. He's not going to be as good, but he's going to get the same push.
You think maybe they're going to do a storyline where Chewbacca like kind of ignores him and like hard on his son, but really because he wants him to be the best.
You know, they didn't really have like a whole lot of Chewie. I mean, he's in some major parts, but it's not like he's always just there in the background in the main scenes, but he's not like, you know, the focal point. But I love the storyline or how they're building to like he's the biggest stud in the fucking galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Like with a little lady, where's my boyfriend? And then the one nurse, oh, you're so brave. Or
That was awesome. Chewie's
super stud, gigolo.
Yeah.
Well, he's got that 70 shag. I mean, he's wearing it, for crying out loud.
There was a scene towards the end where they were trying to go blow up whatever the fuck they were blowing up. And Chewie hands him a jacket or something, and he immediately, he puts it on, and then, like, immediately takes it off the next scene, and it's never spoken of. It's like this weird, like, Chewie, do you remember that? He picks up a jacket off the ground, hands it to Han, they kind of do, like, this thing, like it was something, and then the next scene, he just takes it off.
Huh.
But was that...
I'll look for it.
I also like how they had like a wrestling storyline where they were kind of building up the crossbow.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Because it's like, cool. You've been hanging out with Chewie for what, 30 years at least, and now all of a sudden you got a hard on for his crossbow? What the fuck?
That sounds wrong.
Yeah. But anyway, I enjoyed it. It was okay.
Oh, please.
I gave it a 98. I thought it was
not a 6.
Great. Not, you know, yeah, that's a good point. This is one of the few times I will go above 6 and actually give a movie a 9.
That's fair. I thought it was, it wasn't perfect, but it was pretty close.
9 3/4.
I can't wait to see Rogue One, because apparently they're going to be doing a little bit of a story on Darth Vader in that movie.
Huh.
So I'm curious to see where they go with that and who Rogue One is going to be who it's going to be about. You know, I know it's the fighter pilot, but I don't know which one.
It better be goddamn Wedge, because that's the one thing I was pissed off about the movie. There was no goddamn Wedge. I was hoping Max von Sydow was Wedge in the beginning, and it turns out it wasn't.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is Max von Sydow?
Max von Sydow is the guy who gave Poe the Map, that old man.
That's not his name.
That's his name. It's his real life name.
No, it's not. Okay. Craig, what is it? It is not Max
Von
Shadow.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
He was Max Von Shadow in the Black Hole.
Oh, jeez.
Well,
really,
we're going to the board for this one. No.
That's a real movie.
That's not
Disney
his name.
Movie.
I'm not letting this go.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, either Max Larry or Dazzle or any one or two other people listening live, find out if Max Von Shadow's name is Max Von Shadow.
I'm willing to bet it's something close to that.
I might have an answer.
It's like
Max Von Shadow. Yes, it is. I'm right. You're wrong, like always.
You're fucking wrong. You're wrong.
Let me hit you up on Twitter.
No, I see it. Max Von Sydow, Sydow.
Yeah, but you pronounce it shadow.
Oh,
you
no,
can't
that's
read
not
or
true.
Spell.
I was two out of three right, so at least.
I'll give you
Let's
credit
just
for
call
that.
Him Max.
I just knew that wasn't correct.
But anyway, I guess we can move off of. Okay, Matt Clary is saying Carl. Adolf Max Von Shadow.
No, Sydow. Okay. That's his last name is Sydow, not Shadow.
Shadow.
That's what I'm arguing. I'm correct. You're incorrect.
Yeah, like Craig's name is proper when it should be proper. Or his name is proper when it should be proper.
Right. It is in the proper English, it's proper, thank you.
It says proper.
Right. In the proper English, it's proper. There you go.
Okay, well, we're going to move on
anyway,
to Star Wars.
What do you guys want to talk about?
I've had a request. Matt Clary wants me to talk about, because if you listen to the Brian and Vinny show, a show that Craig, unfortunately, was not on, because only Craig would have caught this, on the Retro Raw, one, Ed in San Antonio, a very young Ed in San Antonio, made his Raw debut hanging out with Shawn at Shawn Michaels' party that was going on during Raw. Yeah,
I saw the picture, yes.
And
wait,
I
what?
Just as good today as I did then.
You made your... Oh, they watched a Retro Raw where you could be seen in the crowd.
Well, not in the crowd. What happened was it was a taped Raw, right? So they had taped it weeks ago, but during the commercial, between the commercials, they would swing to a live feed here in San Antonio at this club, and they were having... You know, it was a promotional thing for the Royal Rumble the next week, and they had Shawn Michaels, they had The Rock, the Blue Chipper Rocky Maivia, and they had the original Double J, soon to be Road Dogg.
What year was this?
And what's it?
What year was this?
This is the year that the Royal Rumble was in San Antonio and Stone Cold won. 99, maybe? I don't know.
Okay, I don't remember.
But anyway, so they would cut. So they did like a few cuts, and like they interviewed Shawn, who was clearly drugged up, and being there live, you could tell he grabbed his gimmick bottle, and was pretty fucked up. I'm pretty sure Michael Hayes and Sonny were there, but they were doing like a lot of production and the stuff with the cutting, so they weren't like accessible as the other ones. Road Dogg or the real Double J was actually
it was
awesome.
97.
And he said, okay. So you could tell he was obviously high. And I think I gave him a joint, or at least I took him a joint. I don't remember if I gave it to him or not. But and Shawn was fucked up. But The Rock was there wearing this fucking brand new purple, like he looked like the Kilgrave from freaking Jessica Jones. This is fucking purple, awesome suit. And he's walking around like he thinks he's the fucking man. And I tried to get his autograph. But, of course, me being stupid that I am, I didn't take a pad or pictures or anything. So the only thing I had in my pocket was a dollar bill. So I start to hand him this dollar bill, and I'm getting ready to ask him for his autograph. And he's flirting with the bartendress. And he sees me moving the dollar bill, so he grabs my dollar bill, and he gives it to the bartenders. And I'm like, and I kind of just, I didn't know what to say. And he's like, you were going to tip her, right? And I was like, no, I was going to ask for your autograph. So he had to get the dollar bill back to the bartender. And then, so I have a dollar bill signed by the, or, well, signed by Rocky Maivia, so it's not worth anything, but I do have it in my views.
That might be worth more, actually.
Yeah, and it was funny because every time they did a cut, before they did the cut, they clearly, Rock, you got to make sure you stay over here. Rocky, you got to stay over here. We can't have you on. You can't be on, Rocky. Stay over here. We're going to shoot over here. And every time they did that, there was like either two or three cuts. Maybe, I don't know, maybe more. I don't remember. But he was off, and then at the very, I think it was one of the last ones, right after he wrestled in another city, not that long ago, you hear Vince McMahon, there's The Rock. And Rocky had one job and he fucked it up. and somehow he teleported to Shawn Michaels' party. And that was pretty funny. But the best story that I have from this thing is that was also the year that Shawn Michaels was ranked number one in the Pro Wrestling Illustrated Top 500. So unlike me, there was this other geek who actually thought about it and had a brain, and instead of just taking a dollar bill, took the Pro Wrestling Illustrated Top 500, which he was able to get signed by Shawn Michaels. And it was also almost impossible to get to Shawn Michaels because he was surrounded by a horde of bitches who were just like not having anybody else getting near him. And you had to fight your way in there to get an autograph. So I do have an autograph signed by HBK, and so he signed that, and then so he goes to get the autograph of the original Double Jumbo Day, a fucking Road Dogg, goddammit. And Road Dogg was
Jumbo
like,
Day,
whatever he was, the double gay guy.
And Double J, yes.
Double J, the original Double J.
Don't confuse
real Double, Road Dogg.
Hey, Ed,
just call him Road Dogg.
What if I could get you the Social Outcast autograph?
It'd probably be worth more than the original Double J. But
I'm sorry.
So he gives it to him because Road Dogg at this time is ranked in the hundreds, maybe 200s. And basically, if you remember these 500s, like the top 10, they all had a picture, like a page picture. And then the rest of them, it was just the names, but there'd be on each page, there'd be maybe two or three or four people that had like a little square picture. And Road Dogg had one of the pictures. And in the pictures, he's beating up Jeff Jarrett. So he's like, he's all happy about this. This is awesome. And he signs it and he's showing everybody and he's showing it off. And I love this. Look at this. Look who I'm kicking Jarrett's ass. And he shows it to Sean and shows it to everybody. And then here comes The Rock, all cocky, he was a cocky fucker, even back then. And he goes and he sees the Road Dogg, and Road Dogg shows him, and he's all proud. And he's all, well, if you're ranked that, I got to be ranked higher than you. So Rocky goes looking for his name. And he goes from page one or the start all the way to the end, 500. He couldn't find his name, and he's like, no, I missed it. He goes back again. He slowly goes through every name all the way from 1 to 500. And again, he does not see his name. And he cannot believe it. He's like, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. And he goes a third time trying to find his name, and he can't find it. And unfortunately, I think The Rock has a bad memory, because while Rocky Maivia was not in the top 500, I'm pretty sure Flex Cabana was. And I guess he forgot about that. And he was just in shock, and he was his ego was hurt, and he could not believe that the Road Dogg was ranked higher than him in the top 500. You've never seen such a cocky person ball up into a little ball so quick. And that was fucking hilarious.
I've always heard that the biggest marks for wrestling are wrestlers. So there you go.
Well, you're kind of
a wrestler.
What
is
Matt Sydal the biggest mark you know, Teach?
Let's all try to talk at the same time again. That was funny.
I said, is Ned Mandela a Mark for himself? You should have. I'm talking now. So, is Ned Seidel a big mark for himself like The Rock was?
No, not at all.
Oh, you're lying. What about Roger Strong? He's got to be a mark.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. He loves him. Roddy loves him, him from Roddy.
Oh. Yeah. So is Roddy getting married again? Is Roderick getting married again?
That's the rumor.
That's the rumor.
Yeah,
what I heard.
Does he really want to marry a girl who could probably kick his ass?
Why not?
Actually, the real question is, does he really want to get married a second time? That's what I wouldn't want to do.
Right, especially he wasn't married that long. I remember seeing the wedding pictures on his Facebook, and then it wasn't very long till that was over.
Divorce pictures?
You've been married longer than his dad. That's incredible.
The divorce pictures didn't turn out as well as we would have hoped. No, we didn't really publicize them as much. You know.
Here's us at the lawyer. Here's us signing our papers. Oh, look, what, this one's cute. This is me throwing his stuff out.
Right. We're actually registered for our divorce party at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Hey, no lie. I went to a divorce party 10 years ago, and it was the best party ever.
I bet it was. The guy or the girl?
They were both there.
They were having a party to celebrate their...
They were both there.
Yes. It was amazing. I got this invite, divorce party, come one, come all, and they threw this bash. Everybody was trashed. They were getting along, hugging each other. I think they might have even hooked up. It was tremendous.
I was going to ask, did it turn into a fucking engagement party at the end?
They reconciled at the end and got back together. But unfortunately, having one asshole on the show isn't enough, and we're getting a call from someone who's probably another asshole, so let me take this call.
Jeez.
What do you want, Alex?
Hey, so I just heard that Ed called someone a mark, and then he's concerned someone's getting married to a woman that could kick his ass. Ed, there ain't a woman out there that can't kick your ass, so you're saying you're never going to get married for that reason?
Well, the
That's
difference is me being I would highly enjoy that. And you know,
he calls
so
it role play.
Is that a problem? Yeah.
Well, different strokes for different folks, but I mean,
absolutely.
Ed contemplating where The Rock or Flex Cavana is ranked in the PWI 500. Ed goes around and has created a mythical list of the F4W20, and every year Ed puts out the list, and Ed's always number one. Isn't that just amazing?
That is quite
I've never heard
ironic.
Of this list, and I can't wait to see this year's ranking.
The only person
well, Ed
has
puts out the list.
The only
Feature
person
in the top
has
10,
a list is Vinny V's biggest fan, his smartest man in the empire, which I am ranked ahead of Brian. So that's actually an awesome list.
Are these like the power rankings? Like they're based on like momentum and you know key pickups and things.
Yeah, it's all intelligence
based. Ed's annual F4W20, where Ed happens to be number one, and at number 20 every year, it just happens to be Craig. I just can't believe it. Here, Craig's been your loyal co-host here, carrying half of these shows, and you know, and then he's number 20. I just can't even believe it. I was insulted.
Huh.
He's not number 20. He'd be lucky he gets an honorable mention.
I think he's got me ranked too high, to be honest.
I don't think Ed knows how rankings work.
Well, I thought, you know, he would have some other people on there, people who have been his friends for years. But then number one is Ed, like I said. Number 20 is Craig. And then 2 through 19 happens to be Blue Pants. So
that's weird. That's really weird, yeah.
Actually, I'd rank for number one, and then myself.
And by the way, your girl Solo Darling is working for ROH tonight.
Oh, she is? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hope Solo.
All over Twitter. No.
Not Hope Solo.
Like
Solo Darling, dude. She's pro wrestling's first furry.
Wouldn't that be Hacksaw Jim Duggan in the gorilla suit, Ed?
Ooh.
I think Dick Slater and the Gorilla Suit preceded Jim Duggan.
I don't remember that angle.
You know, I've been watching a lot of these old Raws with Brian and Vinny for Tuesday nights, and I can't for the life of me understand why anybody would have ever offered Jim Duggan a contract.
I totally agree. He sucks.
He's horrendous.
Jim Duggan was better than Jim Duggan, so...
Fair
it
enough.
It was not just a change in name, there was also a change in work rate. But since we have
in
Alex
UWF,
on the phone... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I was going to say, UWF, Jim Duggan was pretty awesome. And then I don't know what happened, but he's horrendous.
He got a bunch of money, he got fat and lazy, just like Junker Dog, just like Butch Reed, and just like every other UWF person that went up there. But basically, since we have Alex on the line, Alex is a weirdo. He has weird taste and stuff. He grew up different. He's never watched the Dukes of Hazzard. You know what I mean? He has a different, as far as viewing stuff, than probably all of us.
You're aware.
I would probably even say that Alex probably hasn't even seen any Star Wars movies up until this first one. But I know Alex saw the new one, and I'd like to get Alex's thoughts on the new one because I know it's not his type of movie.
I don't know the demographics on like what the ratings Duke the Hazzards did in the 70s. But I can imagine it probably skewed white. I'm just guessing, but the most racist show ever created skewed a little white. Maybe out of Alex's demo. I'm just guessing.
It wasn't racist, it was the 70s.
Alex was actually raised white.
I've not seen too many episodes of Three's Company either, but yet Ed brings up Dukes of Hazzard. But Ed going for the not-so-subtle tie-in. And I was raised how, Ed? How was I raised as compared to...
You were raised in a white family. You were raised in a white family, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Your dad was Rodney.
Oh, my gosh. So why don't you ask him about Different Strokes then, for crying out loud?
I was going to get there, but, you know, let's build to it.
So, Alex, your dad was on Roots, right? He was in that movie, right? He played for the Milwaukee
yes.
Bucks. Right? He did like a couple of seasons in the NBA, right? Ed,
this is quickly
the racist line of questioning ever.
Ed is a terrible person, but we all tolerate him, and it's something we all mutually on this line agree to. So it's something that I think everyone can understand. Absolutely. So the new Star Wars movie. I've actually seen two other Star Wars movies. I've seen Episode One, I guess you would call it, and then I think you'd call the other one I saw Episode maybe Four, right? The first one. So
sure,
those are the Star Wars movies that I've seen. And I enjoyed the newest iteration of the Star Wars movies. I enjoyed the dynamic between Kylo Ren and the general guy. I felt like there's going to be some intrigue there moving forward because both seemingly want control. And then Kylo Ren is, I've seen people talk about online about how he's emo, which he is certainly emo, but I think that adds an air of... he's a little bit unhinged, right? So he's capable of doing maybe a little bit more than someone who is just straight evil because he does lure you in with that softer side before he does something dastardly. And I thought the entire movie was pretty interesting. So I'll be interested to see when the next version comes out. But, I'm not ready to go in and read the comic books and read all the extra stuff my wife or other fans would be, but
wasn't
bad.
You're normal then, Alex. Yeah, you're just normal. It's okay.
Your normal level of nerd.
Yeah, it's fine.
Well, yes, I am a level of nerd, though, because as someone who has digested more professional wrestling than who I would consider a normal person, yes.
Yeah, I hear you.
I am a level of nerd.
No, I get it. Really, I do.
Aren't you guys just embarrassed to be wrestling fans most of the time?
Sometimes, yes. Mostly on Monday nights.
Oh God, I was at school today, and this kid was talking about pro wrestling, and I was like, yeah, I like pro wrestling too. And he was like, yeah, who you like? I was like, I like John Cena. He's like, John Cena sucks. I was like, oh, well, shut me up.
Yeah.
What a fucking asshole.
Fact is,
you know,
no,
the only time I don't feel uncomfortable around other people that I'm friendly with, because I would say that because
yes.
we consume
yes.
the same content, that generally the conversations are going to be at a certain level to where, you know, at the level where Dave Meltzer, you know, discusses the content. And so I'm comfortable at that level. But then when you go outside the spectrum and then conversations happen, yeah, I feel pretty pretty nerdy. So it's
yeah.
not something that this current product doesn't allow you to become really proud of calling yourself a wrestling fan, I would say, especially when you have, like, a professional job where, like, you get paid in regular
intervals. When Jericho came out and did that shit with the New Day, and he was trying to get him to chant Rudy Fruity Booty or whatever the fuck, I was just like, this is embarrassing. This is embarrassing for everyone. Mostly me.
The whole Jericho comeback has been a flop. I mean...
Yeah, give it time. Wait till he's actually in the ring. It'll be all right.
What's interesting to me is that there's a lot of voices online that speak to Mauro Ranallo as being this big agent of change, because Mauro Ranallo has a decent resume. I mean, his initial, I believe it was Elite XC work was pretty rotten, but, you know, he's got a really good resume of work. I enjoy his boxing commentary and his New Japan commentary. But, I mean, essentially what you're going to get is him doing his voiceover for the same product. So, I mean, it's unfortunate that fans want to see something different. I think that there's a little bit of a muddle about exactly what they want to see, but I think fans certainly want a different product. That's certainly something more engaging, maybe something more that they could, you know, maybe show off to their friends. I remember when I was younger, I wouldn't be embarrassed to show, you know, my peers professional wrestling product, whether it be a good interview or a good match. And now, I mean, I couldn't imagine trying to introduce a new fan on any of this stuff, which is certainly a detriment, right? But
so you weren't embarrassed when Afa and Sika were walking around with a bone in their nose, or Mr. Fuji was walking around on wooden shoes and Japanese flag, or
when
whatever German guy was running around high stepping?
You know, that wasn't the product that I would show to people, right? I mean, that's not when that was going on, that was during my youth. And then, you know, when I became an older adult, I mean, World Craig's a little bit, well, Ed, you're like 20 years older than me, but, you know, Peach and I think are probably similar in age. And I feel like WWF, you know, kind of growed. I say WWF kind of grew up with me, right? In the 90s, when I was a small child, the product was very childish, right? And then as I was a teenager, we enter into the Attitude Era. And then now the product, instead of even going back to the product of my youth, has gone in this different weird direction where they're trying to be socially relevant but yet missing the point in a lot of ways. And I don't know. It's interesting. It's like, I don't know. I think a lot of the itches that pro wrestling always scratched for me when I was younger, the big fight feel, mixed martial arts, suffices that. You know, UFC, I think if I were a child today, I don't even think I would give for
exactly
a
right.
chance.
You know, I've thought about this before, and if it was 1997 and you flip-flop UFC and WWE, is, you know, popularity, you know, for 97 to when UFC got hot, there would be no WWF or WCW ever. Because if UFC existed in 1997, we all would have been watching that and not wrestling. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. I think of, you know, Alex brought up showing your friends.
UFC did exist at that time, because I saw UFC when I was like 20, dude. That was like...
It was a different product. It was a different product.
No, I'm saying, but if it was like a 2006 product that was on TV against Nitro, you would watch the UFC. So
no, I'd
it
watch
was Well, I think it was because it was the only fighting product that there was. Thus, we weren't going to watch boxing, because you had to pay for that. And you know. So it was the only thing where, like, it looked like two guys were fighting. And as kids, we wanted so fucking badly to see guys fight.
Alex brought up the point, if you were going to, you know, show wrestling to your friends. A majority of my friends, when they were young, they were raised on WWE, and it was Hulk Hogan and Doink the Clown and Macho Man, and you know what I mean? It was that. There was the really great athletes on top, and then underneath, like I said, you had Junkyard Dog, you had Doink the Clown, you had all these gimmicks. And as I got older, and in my teens, I quit watching it because I discovered, you know, drugs and girls and alcohol. And
yeah.
So, right. And when I came back to it, you know, honestly, in my 20s, I came back to watch wrestling at, I'm guessing, like 94 or so, 95, in that era. And if I was going to show one of my friends that I used to watch wrestling with, if I was going to try to reintroduce them to something, to wrestling, I would show them, like, the six-man Michinoku pro match from ECW. Or I would show them Raven and Stevie Richards against the Pitbulls from ECW.
Or I would show them... You didn't show them...
Or I'd show them, like, All Japan.
You didn't show them Matt Sydal versus Ray Nash?
No, I would...
Shit, 1999, bro.
I didn't even know that existed. But anyway, but today, if I was trying to push wrestling upon somebody, WWE would be the last thing I would show them.
Yeah, you'd show them New Japan or ROH.
Absolutely. New Japan, ROH, even Chikara.
Shimmer.
You know?
Shine. Real promotions like Shimmer and Shine.
Sure, Ed. We'll just play along. Yeah. But, yeah, WWE and TNA would be the last things I would show them. You know, please do not watch this. And please watch NXT. Don't you dare watch Monday Night Raw. I'm embarrassed.
Exactly.
I've recently shown coworkers. I mean, not only do I show coworkers, you know, UFC build-up packages, which is something that I'm not ashamed to show people, but even like New Japan on Access, because a lot of people that I live with get Access. So, I tell people, hey, you should check out this episode, you know, whatever. And I think that's, you know, it's something that, a product that I'll certainly push. But, yeah, certainly I would never tell someone, yeah, you should tune in to Monday Night Raw. And recently, honestly, like, I don't even really watch Raw myself, right? I mean, I listen to Brian and Dave go over the relevant segments, and if it sounds like something's interesting, then I'll go back and check it out. SmackDown's almost a non-factor because SmackDown honestly doesn't really do anything to, it's not really a relevant product. So, and now with the network, I can watch the pay-per-views where if there's something that I miss between listening to Dave and Brian discuss it and then watching, whatever the show fast forwarded, then, I mean, they'll show me a video package during the pay-per-view to catch me up. So, I mean, it's almost concerning for, I think websites like Brian's and The Torch and, these wrestling websites that generate profit off the excitability of professional wrestling fans and want to understand the business on a deeper level. Because it's like, how is this business generating new Alexes, you know?
I think you're wrong about that, Alex. I think that these sites actually do better when everyone's pissed off about the product. Because let's be honest, what's more entertaining? Vinny being happy about Raw or Vinny losing his goddamn mind or something so stupid? It's like, why are you getting mad? But it's so funny.
Right.
But I disagree with you because where are the new ads going to come from, right? If without World Clash Championship Wrestling to get you into pro wrestling, where would you have gone, right? You would have found interest in something else, and that's what I'm saying is that my point earlier is that if Ultimate Fighting Championship of this iteration would have been around in 1989, I would have become, an Ultimate Fighting Championship fan probably because I was interested in the big fight. Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan, for example, is a match I was really looking forward to when I was six. And I think that, Conor McGregor against Rafael Dos Anjos would have scratched that itch for me. And they present a product where, other than the violence, which professional wrestling in its own way is violent as well, you know, there's no cursing, there's nothing inappropriate.
You know, I what I like about Mauro, you brought up Mauro, he's not a WWE product. He's a guy from the outside, and he's also a fan. I don't give a fuck how good he is. He's new, and he's not a WWE-built guy. Like, I will never get behind Corey Graves or Byron Saxton because they're just robots. You know, I will enjoy listening to Mauro.
So what you're saying is, Peach, what you're saying is, Peach, you like Mauro because he's an individual and he's something different.
Yeah, for sure.
Huh. That's crazy.
I know.
If only The Office would figure that out.
When they sit there on those pay-per-views and they got the fucking Booker T and the blonde chick and Corey Graves and they got the Mountain Dews, they all got Mountain Dews and corn nuts. They're shilling and they're fake yucking it up. Josh Matthews gonna cut it. Oh, Big Show. It's just like, oh god, what a circle jerk.
The thing with Mauro is that's gonna make it awesome, and this is why it's gonna work. And it could only work with Mauro. Like, you couldn't bring any of the other wrestling announcers over because they wouldn't be able to do it. Mauro is gonna be able to keep the focus on the match, get excited about the match. And he's smart enough at the same time that he knows to use all the WWE verbiage and not fuck it up. So he's going to keep them happy with saying everything they want with all their keywords, but at the same time, he's going to make us happy because he's going to call it like Jim Ross called it, like Joey Styles called it, when we got into it and exciting. And
right.
He's smart enough to where, like I say, he can hit all the universe, all that shit,
yeah,
and hit all his mark, hit all his cues, all the things he's got to say for Vince. But at the same time,
you know, at least for a while, and then he'll get yelled at, and then his spirit will break, and then he'll end up like Michael Cole, who I know Michael Cole every night just puts a revolver in his mouth and goes, fuck it, this is the night, I can't take it anymore. Like, you know, Michael Cole is just a soulless, life drained, suck, you know, shell of a man.
Peach. Actually, I disagree with you. I don't think he'll become Michael Cole because he's the lead commentator of Showtime Boxing. And, I mean, whatever you want to say about the state of Showtime Boxing in 2015 or 2016, excuse me, I mean, that's still a high-profile job. So I think too frustrating for him, I think he'll just
he'll
walk away, right? I mean, yeah, he'll just go back to doing that. I mean, I think there is going to be a certain amount of appeasing that he'll do. Hey, Mauro, we don't call them belts here. We call them titles. Hey, we don't call them titles, we call them awards, whatever. And I'm sure he'll comply with that, but if it gets to be too burdensome, I mean, he's a real broadcaster. As big of a professional wrestling fan as he is, he's a real broadcaster. So he'll just go back.
And he's a Northwest boy, so I've got to root for him.
What's interesting is that New Japan, Dave Meltzer put today in the Daily Update, they're looking at bringing in Jim Ross to replace Mauro Ranallo, which is certainly interesting moving forward because Jim Ross is a highly acclaimed commentator as well. I don't think he's the answer long term because I think that I'm ready for the new Jim Ross. Going back on the network and watching these episodes of Mid-South, that as much as we herald Jim Ross, his era has definitely passed him by. I mean, he was certainly...
Thank you. Jesus, thank you. I hate everybody sucking his dick. I'm not impressed.
Yeah, I mean,
his
peak was a long time ago. I mean, he's competent, but his peak was a long time ago. So I think it's a good measure to bring him in now. But I'm certainly excited for the next Jim Ross.
Well, I'll tell you this about Jim. I was a big fan of his podcast for about the first 2 months. And then it was like, okay, Jim, you're saying the same thing. You know, you've ridden this horse too long. It's time to put it to pasture. And I've quit listening to his podcast because they're just not interesting anymore.
As someone who's a co-host of a big podcast, Craig, I mean, I'm not talking about this one. I'm talking about the one you do with Brian. How do you combat
so
that,
big.
Right?
I have a button that I can disconnect you at any time, Alex.
But I'm asking such good questions and bringing up good points. So, Craig, I mean, how do you battle that, right? Because there is something to that where, you know, Jim Cornette comes to mind for me, right, is where I was a really big fan of Jim Cornette's initial podcast he did a few years ago.
Right.
And now that I hear him, he has a stick, right? He's a comedy guy. He has his beats
right.
that he hits. Oh, fuck Vince Russo, yada, yada, yada. And then how do you keep yourself fresh and relevant, I guess?
Oh, my gosh, you're asking the wrong guy. Dude, to be honest, I mean, I do the show with Brian and Vinny. I take notes on the shows, but I'm not like Vince. I mean, I know my job, and I know what I'm supposed to do. It's called the Brian and Vinny Show. And every so often, Brian referred to it as a Brian, Vinny, and Craig show. But I'm the third guy there.
I got to cut you off. Don't listen to any of this bullshit. I've been there. Craig has got everything under control. He's running the TV. He's sitting in the main chair. He's got the computer. Yeah. Brian's just a fucking pile of drool. Vinny's just got his face down in a fucking pizza. Craig's like, hey, get it together. Snap it. You know, clap it up here. Pay attention, and then he's got the switchboard. He's doing push-ups in between. Yeah, he's a fucking sweaty mess.
You're lying because there's video proof now that all Craig does is sit there and look at his phone the whole show.
Peach told me the 5-minute introduction is actually even flow. Like, they play even flow, and that lets them know they got 5 more minutes before they got to record.
Right.
Is that true? I mean, yeah. No, but I know my place, and it's really easy because I've known those guys forever, and what you get is what we are. You know, there's no, okay, let's do this, and let's tell a joke here, and make sure you hit this point. We just go in there and do it. We're ourselves around a table, just goofing and just talking like buddies.
So what you're telling us is Brian really is an asshole in every aspect of the word.
And how did you get that? I never said that.
But if the show,
he's
the
who,
show
who he is
work,
on the show, and on the show he's an asshole. So.
Oh,
but
sure.
He has to be the bad guy. What if they were all just good guys? That show would suck dick.
That's why he doesn't like me, because I'm more of a bad guy than him, and he hates that. And he can't deal with the fact that I'm a bigger heel than he is, and he resents me for it.
Back to Ed. Anyway, it works because Brian's an alpha male. Vinny is not.
That was code for asshole. He just doesn't cuss, so alpha male. Okay, that works.
Okay, so Brian's an alpha male. Vinny is not an alpha male. I'm somewhere in the middle. If I'm on the job, I'm an alpha male. If I'm there, I know my place. It's behind Brian. And
okay. Brian's the alpha,
you know what I mean?
The omega, and Vinny's the beta.
Fine, if you want to say it that way. But somebody has to be in charge. And a lot of times on those one-man podcasts, you're getting the same thing again and again and again. Jim asks great questions. I mean, depending on who's on his show, like if, you know, we've had Dave Prazak on the show. You ask Dave, how's your day going? And then he'll start talking, and then 20 minutes later he'll say, so all in all, not too bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dave does all the talking. And so,
I love it when he goes on a rant about Ryan Ash being the worst wrestler he ever booked.
So what I'm saying is, with Vinny, myself, and Brian, it's just real organic. If, you know, if we were out getting a bite to eat, you would hear a lot of the same banter. You know, I mean, just to be honest.
I stopped listening to a lot of the same podcasts because they just become repetitive. Like, I listened to the first 500 Joe Rogan Experiences, and then I was like, okay, I get it. You know, you can sort of distill it down to its basic elements. Joe's afraid of nature and aliens, and they're all a bunch of fucking high comedians, you know?
Yeah.
And so, same thing with like Flair. Like, he's got stories, but, you know, if he's the only guy talking, he's going to run through all his stories. Same thing with Jim Ross. Same thing with Jericho, I've noticed, because I listen to, you know, I kind of got it, you know? So give it up.
Oh, that's why if we have a week when at the very last minute Craig and Contreras tell me they can't do the show and I can't get a hold of you, it's like, fuck it, I'm not doing a show. I'm not going to talk for 2 hours.
No.
Yeah, you're better off with less content, I think.
Yeah. Anyway,
seriously,
we've been off. Oh, go ahead.
I'm just saying. It seriously, if I got on here and tried to do a podcast by myself, oh my gosh, what a train wreck that would be. So.
Even Matt Ferry wouldn't enjoy that.
I mean, so taking it back to wrestling, I mean, the only good one-man crew that's ever been in a booth has been Joey Styles.
And
I can't think of anybody
else. Also, that's questionable because, you know what, every pay-per-view I saw, he wasn't by himself the whole time. He had way
that's
more
true.
Help than people give him credit for. Maybe on the TV show
no,
he did
you're
by
wrong,
himself
Ed.
A lot.
Yes, he did over 200-300 episodes of television by himself, and he was excellent. It's interesting to me, Ed, Craig, that you're into ECW because I know Vinny and Brian both didn't really get it. And ECW in 1996 is what rejuvenated my love for professional wrestling because,
absolutely.
I mean, Duke the Dumpster Drozzi and Hunter Hearst Helmsley had driven me off the product to where I was ready to give it up. You know, I was entering into my teenage years, and I'm like, screw this. And seeing,
yep.
you know, Tommy Dreamer and Primetime Brian Lee, that's what got me back into professional wrestling. And,
yep.
you know, it's
you're probably the only person
yeah,
who ever
so,
said that Brian Lee got them back into pro wrestling.
It was more Tommy Dreamer's promos, right? I mean, Tommy Dreamer's babyface promos, challenging
tremendous.
Raven, challenging Brian Lee, saying that, you know, there's real stakes and that I'm going to attack you. And Dreamer did all this without a title, right? Because Dreamer was the perennial non-champion of ECW. He finally got the ECW world title, but for most of his run, he didn't have a belt at all, but yet he made his angles interesting because there were real stakes. Usually, you know, there was importance to his matches, the win and losses. And that's one of the big things missing from, you know, today's product is that there's generally no stakes because generally whoever wins tonight is going to lose tomorrow. And it's.
I remember specifically with Tommy Dreamer thinking, God, is he going to win it this time? Is he going to win it this
yes.
time? Like, God, I really want him to do it this time. And, you know, and it became this thing where he's never going to win it. I mean, and then he did that one time over Just Incredible, lost the next day or some bullshit. But, yeah, it was like I really was fucking hoping for Tommy Dreamer to win that title just because he deserved it, man.
Yeah.
You know, I bought WrestlePalooza in 1997 specifically to see Tommy Dreamer beat Raven. Like, that was such a big moment to me that I had
yep.
to buy the tape so I could see the complete show. And, I mean, I just wonder, man, like, you know, World Wrestling Entertainment, they have, you know, I see Raven post, not Raven the wrestler, Raven the camera guy. He'll post oftentimes the company line, which recently you've seen Road Dogg say, you've seen Joey Styles say about, oh, you know, pro wrestling fans will never quit watching, even though fans have quit mm-hmm. watching in droves this year. And I just wonder where the new fans are going to come from, right? I mean, and what product are they going to be interested in? Because generally the first product you see is the one you always romanticize, right? We all harken back to, you know, I've heard plenty of Ed stories about how Terry and Kevin Von Erich were the two greatest ever, and Great Kabuki was the greatest heel ever, and yada, yada, yada. And I think all that stuff is trash, but Ed likes it, you know, and I just wonder, are there going to be fans that are like, oh, Rudy Tootie Booty, that's the stuff I like.
Yeah, bullshit. Mm. No, never going to happen. Oh, man, you guys remember
the
how awesome the New Day was?
Yeah, that's my son, you know, his thing is the New Day has gotten silly. He still loves Cena. He loves NXT. He loves Roman Reigns. And for the most part, when the Young Bucks are on TV, he's glued to the television.
That is a caveat.
NXT
is really good. NXT is really good.
Yeah.
He's getting to that age where you need to start getting him the Shine Show and the Shimmer Shows. He'll really start appreciating that real soon.
Yes.
Ed has a photo album
you
can show your son. Ed has a photo album he can show your son that'll get to him.
Oh, he's not
in,
he's
Shine and Shimmer.
He's not allowed around Ed. Come on now. Ever.
I am in control of our WrestleMania tickets. I can arrange it to where me and the little guy are sitting next to each other.
Hey, am I going to WrestleMania? Do I have a ticket?
Yes, I already told you. You're going.
I love how we're conducting
business. Take it away from you.
Am might have to. I'm super high. I don't shit.
The only person not going mining is Alex.
He's probably the smartest one.
Speaking of which, dinner is $63.50, and you need to send that to me as soon as possible, Peach.
What is it?
Ed, you know you'd want to. Ed wants to hang out with me. Ed wants to hang out with me. He's lying.
I'm going to ban you from the party house in Vegas.
I don't know why he wouldn't. I mean, Alex is down to earth. He's a great guy. A soldier. Come on now. Why wouldn't you like this guy?
Jiu-jitsu athlete. Is that right, Pete?
Damn right.
Also, Alex Saint was even a worse wrestler than fucking Ryan Ash.
Who?
Alex Saint.
That was my professional wrestling incarnation.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good.
Did you wear like a mask and like come out like the old like duck like the Lucha guys, Alex, with like a big cross and a white mask?
No, because I didn't have anyone to make me a mask. But there was a show where I was supposed to wear a mask, but I ended up getting called into work because I was still an active duty Marine at the time. So I got called into work and I had to give the booking to my brother-in-law. So
who went on to be
Johnny Yuma. He's still currently he's out with a shoulder injury. But if you watch Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, he's a producer agent on that show, and he was also their Heritage Champion for a while. So yeah, that's my my wife's little brother.
That's cool.
Okay, let's try it again. This time, lie up. And that guy turned out to be
John Cena.
Yeah, well, that's awesome, man. Oh, wow, great story.
Oh well.
And he famously wrestled in Texas under the name of Viscera. Little known fact.
I'd be Big Daddy V before I'd be Viscera. Actually, I'd be more like El Hijo de Abdullah the Butcher or something.
Yikes.
But, NXT has a very awesome product. And, I mean, they are able to capture with lesser-known characters, right, lesser big characters, they're able to capture the big fight feel in a lot of their matchups, and including women's matches, which professional wrestling
companies
outside
Japan. They've made Eva Marie the biggest fucking star in all of pro wrestling.
I wouldn't agree with that, but
I'm being serious. Eva Marie, while maybe her moves need a little work, everything else about her is fucking money and fucking awesome. The fucking fist pump, the air guitar going the wrong way. I mean, she has been a bitch down to a fucking perfect, and she's fucking awesome at it. She's the best fucking thing on NXT by far.
And there's a lot of good shit on NXT. But, I disagree with that assessment, but that wouldn't be the first time I disagree with that. But Bayley is certainly worth checking out. And Finn Balor, a lot of people are fans of his work as Prince Devitt, but I think he's shown dynamics in NXT that he didn't really get to show because of, you know, the television product that New Japan featured doesn't allow you to spread your wings in that direction. And I think that definitely he's shown sides of himself that make him more entertaining in some ways than when he was Prince Devitt in New Japan. So NXT, man, it's certainly interesting that two companies can produce two very different products, but NXT doesn't have the thing holding them back where they have to draw money either, right? So they can just run these shows and they don't have to actually, you know, pay to continue the shows going as the word WWE does. So.
All good points.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been off our live feed for actually a while now, so we can go ahead and wrap up.
Oh, my gosh.
Craig, anything else you want to talk about before we go?
You know what? I'm good.
I'd ask Alex, but he'd go on for another freaking 90 minutes, so we'll skip Alex.
I did want to say real quick. UFC this Sunday, Dominic Cruz has done an incredible job making people think that he's going to have a shot against TJ Dillashaw. And he doesn't have – I mean, I don't think he has much of a shot against Dillashaw, considering the injuries that he's coming back from. I'm still very interested to see the match, but, man, you got to think that's going to be a long haul to go in there. It's a lot different facing Mizugaki than fighting Dillashaw. So that'll be interesting to see Sunday night.
Well, I'll give him credit. He's the greatest troll in all of MMA, the way he fucking shut TJ up and made him look like a fucking idiot on that one face-off thing they did on the last show. That was awesome. It was like watching The Rock having a debate with Bill Mulkey or something.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. He fucking he just massacred him in that debate. That was great.
Yeah. But, Peach, anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah,
nothing
you know,
gay-related?
I like Dom Cruz on Sunday. You know, I like him to pull out the Duke. I think he's going to go five rounds, and I think Dom Cruz is going to get the win. Talking about football, I like the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl over the Tennessee Jaguars. Yeah, I think it's going to be a hell of a game, you know. And also, go Yankees, go Yankees. Follow me at Hendo's Food Blog.
Hmm.
Oh, speaking of which, I guess I should do the plug. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download the Stream Our Show at AngryMarks.com along with another, a lot of other shows. You can also download the Stream Our Show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Cotrer and older shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
But he won't
follow
you back.
He won't. You can follow me on Twitter, my name on Twitter. Look for Brian's friend Craig, or my handle is my last name and the word jam, so proper jam.
Go ahead, Alex.
Oh, AlexGoff84 on Facebook and AlexGoff84 on Twitter. And
enough.
There you go. And Stephanie McMahon, I was looking at some clips of her, and I'm a big Stephanie McMahon fan.
That's a great point.
I'd fuck her.
Who would you rather get a blowjob from? Hope Solo or Han Solo?
Hope Solo.
You asked that to Ed or to me?
I don't know. I'm just fucking an idiot.
Hope Solo. You know, I could get a blowjob, and she could also kick my ass, like Alex said.
Yeah.
You know what? I just want to make the point that Jade from TNA, she's dating Eddie Kingston, which Eddie Kingston,
right.
He's an overweight guy, but he has the semblance of a tough guy. So, Ed, if you work on becoming a tough guy, maybe you'd be able to pull someone like Jade from TNA, right?
Well, it might be too late. I'm next to mine if it doesn't work out.
You say that a lot, don't you?
That. So you're saying there's a chance.
Say there's a chance.
Yes. There's a chance. There was a chance that I could have won the Powerball, and there's a chance that one day me and Mia Yim will get married.
Okay. So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah.
And screw Dave Meltzer. He don't know what he's talking about. Jade is awesome. She just has bad people to work with. How could anyone look good wrestling Velvet Sky or Madison Rain? He doesn't say anything when she's wrestling Gail Kim, and it's fucking awesome that he got, like, the best. They should be, like, the top feud. But no, they're all terrible. Fuck Dave. Kiss my ass.
Why do you take everything so personally?
Yeah.
The what?
Why do you take everything so personally?
Dave doesn't like something.
Because I'm right and they're wrong.
Ed gets butthurt.
He really does.
No, you get butthurt because you are gay.
That's not hurt, boy. I squeeze them cheeks together.
Oh,
I'm so fucking hot right now.
All right, I'm in the
show.
Will
you please end the show before something bad happens?
Hey, bye, guys. I had a great time. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, brothers. Ba 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 ba
bum diddly dum diddly dum bum diddly dum diddly dum diddly dum bum 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 bum